we're going to start by looking at a passage in Scripture. You know, all this is really an expression of our mission statement, to know Christ, his life-changing power, to make him known. Taking that last part, what does it mean to make him known? And that comes from our understanding of what we call the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, we have the giving of the Great Commission. Here and in Matthew 28 are the two main passages. And it's the record of Jesus giving the church our mission as he ascends into heaven, saying, okay, this is what your job is. And then he leaves and he gives us that job. And I want to take a moment to read this passage. We're going to look at it briefly, then come back to it at the very end. But let me begin by reading this, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive the Holy power when you receive the Holy Spirit and has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. May God bless the reading of his word. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we do have to come together this morning. Father, to worship, to celebrate what you're doing. Father, to be encouraged and challenged by your word. I pray that you would speak through your word, that you would speak and encourage us through the testimonies of what is happening. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're told that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days, and he spoke to them primarily about the kingdom of God and about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, they understood something about the idea of the kingdom. They thought a Messiah would come. They thought that he would come and establish this kingdom. But we see in verse 6 of Acts 1, their understanding of the kingdom was wrong. Look what he says. When they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, they expected Jesus to come back with all these angels and to establish an earthly kingdom. And you see even in their question, will you restore? Meaning, okay, there was once something in Jerusalem with King David. Are you going to restore that? And then now in Israel, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They were expecting a political kingdom. That again, that he would appoint himself as king in Jerusalem and that he would reign with a greater kingdom than David had years before. But Jesus makes it clear in his response, that's not the kind of kingdom he came to establish. It wasn't political, it was spiritual. And so we look at his answer in verses 7 and 8. He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He's saying, I will ultimately come and establish a kingdom where God's full reign is known at the second coming. But you can't know when that's going to happen. And then he continues to explain the current status of the kingdom. In verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so what we see is this kingdom isn't political, it's spiritual in nature. It's spiritual. There is a power. And he says, I'm giving you power. The exercise of power is inherent within any kingdom. But it's a power that's not military in nature. It's a different kind of power. It's a spiritual power defined by the Holy Spirit, where he comes to establish his rule in the lives of men and women, not in the halls of government. It's spread through witnesses, not soldiers. It's a gospel of peace and not a declaration of war. But it is a real power. And my friends, that should give us hope. It should give us confidence, because just as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and equipped him for his ministry, Jesus now leaves and says, now I'm giving you that same Holy Spirit to prepare you for what I've called you to do. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon followers of Jesus, the most unlikely people become fountains of his power. Because what we do is not defined by our ability or inability, by our personality, but it's defined by God's unlimited power at work within us. But look also at the scope of the kingdom. He says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's an international kingdom. It's not just about Jerusalem. Now, they were thinking about Jerusalem, but he's saying, no, it's going to go to the ends of the earth. But I also want you to see that while the focus should be reaching the whole world, it starts with being faithful in our own community, starting in Jerusalem, in our case, in Akron and Coventry. And we're going to see in a moment that that's where our missions committee is focusing. Now, as he looks about this, I want you to see that there's also a challenge to us individually. That he's saying, not only are you calling to do this, but I'm calling you to be my witnesses. We're called to be witnesses, not to usher in a kingdom by force. We're called to do it fighting as witnesses, sharing the truth of the gospel, fighting for hearts of people one person at a time. And it doesn't say that God's going to raise up a few people to be his witnesses. You know, I'll have the apostles. I'll have the Billy Graham. No, what does he call? He calls us all, whoever a part of the church, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you're a follower of Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, you have the power and you have the call to accomplish that call. And think about the call that God gave to the early church. I mean, there's 120 people on the day of Pentecost. These were people, this little group of people that were not educated, that had run away. And yet God calls them and says, I want you to now impact the whole of the world. And the amazing thing is they did that. Within a generation, this 120 people had reached the four corners of the world. Within a couple hundred years, they literally overthrew the Roman Empire through a spiritual message of the gospel. And they didn't do that because there were a few highly gifted people that were out there preaching and on TV or radio. No, they did that. When you look at the Bible, you see that it was a work of each individual being faithful where they're at. Each one saying, okay, God, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want the Holy Spirit to work through me. How do you use me to reach a few people around us? See, we may look at this and we may be overwhelmed and say, how do we accomplish this? Again, it's one person at a time. Starting with each one of us saying, how do I be faithful in reaching my own community? Let me close up by just giving a few other thoughts going back to where we began in Acts chapter 1. And if you remember back in Acts chapter 1, the disciples come to Jesus. They ask, are you going to have time to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus then speaks about the kingdom. And he makes it personal in the call. And again, what did they ask him? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? And look at verse 8. If you have your Bibles open, look at Jesus' response. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. What did they ask? Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom? What does he respond? No, you are going to be my witnesses. You are going to be the ones to establish the kingdom. See, Jesus teaches that we are his representatives, that we are the ones that he's going to use to establish the kingdom. And again, it's not because of anything that we have, anything that we do. It's not that we are, that there are certain people that are uniquely gifted with talents and abilities. No, he says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And then because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the power of God, then you'll be my witnesses. Because with the Holy Spirit, again, the most unlikely people become fountains of his power. Again, Jesus is telling this to the same group of disciples who after his crucifixion, even after his resurrection, were hiding in the upper room. They were terrified. These weren't educated, brave people. No, these were spiritual mice that somehow were transformed into spiritual giants. And here's what I want you to see. There's a personal aspect to this. Let me take you back to verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that again, and I want you to read it and recognize every time that it says, and you, that's not speaking to them, that's speaking to you, that's speaking to me. In fact, I want you to join me, and I want you to actually read this out loud with me. But in every time where it says you, I want you to, instead of saying you, I want you to insert your own name. All right? So join me. But we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon, and will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're in that promise. And he doesn't say you'll do my witnessing. He'll say you'll be my witnesses. That's who you are. That's our identity. That's our purpose. Now, how do we do that? Well, we have to recognize that we're called to serve on the mission field where he's placed us. And I think about even at that moment, what it was like for the disciples to hear Jesus say that. He's commissioning them. I'm going to commission you to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And he calls them to reach every people on every continent. they don't even know the continents. They don't even know that there are continents. And he says, okay, I'm going to take you group of people that are nobodies, and I'm going to these people that are fishermen and tax collectors and carpenters and most of whom had never traveled within 50 miles around them. And he says, okay, I'm going to take this group of people. You couldn't get a less capable group of people. And then with no explanation, he says, I'm going to give you the task of reaching the world. And then he's gone. And they're like, Jesus, you're going to reach the whole world. Do you know how big the whole world is? And he's going up to the sky and says, yeah, I can see it from here. It's really big. You know, you can't see it. But I'm calling you to reach the whole world. And here we are 2,000 years later, thousands of miles away, speaking a different language, a different culture, and there are more Christians on the planet than any other religious group, and we're still continuing this great movement that Jesus started way back then with a small group of fishermen and carpenters and uneducated people. And we think, you know, how could God use this group of nobodies to accomplish this great call? And what we need to realize, we're still asking that question. How can we feel who feel like we're a group of nobodies in the midst of a hostile culture, how could God use us to accomplish this call of establishing his kingdom? And it's by each one of us being faithful on the mission field where God has called us. And we've talked a lot about people that are overseas and doing this, and there's only a few people that God calls away from the mission field that you're at to another mission field. See, most of us, he says, okay, I placed you here. How do I reach Coventry? How do I reach Akron? Well, you are the missionaries for this area. And each one of us, we've got to realize, boy, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our sphere of influence, we each have this place where we are a missionary. You are more equipped and you have opportunity to reach people I could never reach. But because you're the missionary there. You are equipped. You are equipped with the relationships, with everything that is there. And so God has called each one of us to say, okay, God, here am I. Now, how is he going to do that? Again, not some big thing. It's one person at a time. And I love what's happening at the schools. Even an example, it's not only that Joseph is there. People are inviting people and one at a time and say, hey, come to this. I'm coming to get. I'm getting. That's how God works. But you know what we need to do is we need to remember that this is a call. And we need to focus on it. Let me just close in thought, looking at, if you have your Bibles open again, look at verses 9 through 11. Right after Jesus gives this great commission, we read in verse 9, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood beside them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I mean, there's this amazing scene, and he's ascending into heaven. They're all like, wow, that's really amazing. And suddenly there's two angels next to him, and they're like, why are you looking into heaven? And they're like, you see what's happening? It's kind of, you know, it's kind of amazing thing. And why do they ask that? Why are you gazing into heaven? You know what I think he was doing? They were rebuking. Gently, nicely. But they are saying, Jesus said, okay, now you go, my witnesses, you know, you go reach Judea, Samaria, you know, the ends of the earth. And now Jesus is coming back. They're looking up there and they're saying, guys, you're looking in the wrong place. Get your eyes from heaven and say, okay, as long as you're here, God's called you to reach here. I know even there was a lot of stuff going on last month about when's Jesus coming back and when do we in end times. And my friends, we're not called to look into heaven. We don't know the time that God will come and the second coming and will establish everything. We're not called to look there. We're called to look here. We're called to look down. We're called to get our eyes out of the sky, in a sense, embrace Jesus' mission and say, God, where have you placed me? How do I be faithful here? And again, that faithfulness may be just starting by praying for people in your sphere of influence, looking for opportunity, talking, inviting them at the appropriate time to something where they may hear the gospel and in the community of God's people. Each one of us saying, God, you placed me here. You haven't called me to reach all of the world. You haven't called me to reach all of Akron. You've called me to reach the few people in my sphere of influence. And if we each do that, you see, if we each are faithful in doing that, what God's going to do is he's going to cause a revival here. And if God's doing it other places, there's a revival one person at a time, because that's always the way that God has worked. But the question is, will we embrace the call? Celebrating not only what God is doing in missions and how we support it and what God is doing through other people that we're supporting, that's part of it. But at the end of the day, saying, okay, God, use me. Help me to be faithful where you have placed me. God, I want to embrace that call as your missionary, as your witness, as you seek to establish your kingdom, as he continues to do amazingly more than all we can think or imagine.
If you have a question about the message, Community Church, or Jesus Christ, send us a text to 330-400-3242. You can learn more about our events and community groups at ccpl.life/connect. There you can also send in a prayer request. We would love to pray for you. Have a blessed Lord's Day, and we'll see you on Sunday.